Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Mr. Beacon podcast. This week, we have an interview with Mitch Klein, who is the executive director of the Z-Wave Alliance. He also works for Silicon Labs, one of the leading providers of chips in IoT devices. So I don't know about you, but I listen to, try and keep up with all of what is happening with these IoT protocols that are not the Bluetooth home territory that we normally operate in. They're Matter, Zigbee, Thread, Z-Wave. So who of us can give a clear definition of which ones to use when and where and what the best fit is? Well, Mitch can do that. And so that's really what we focus on. And we also get the lowdown on Silicon Labs at the end and hear a bit about his musical tastes for those of you who are interested in the person behind the industry happenings. So just before we go into the interview, I wanted to let you know that we've been thinking about how to spice up the Mr. Beacon Ambient IoT podcast and make it more useful. And we're contemplating the idea of adding a news section with a colleague of mine at Wiliot, Brett Small, who's a veteran of IoT and location and serialization and all of the technologies that roll up into this ambient IoT thing that we are constantly striving to understand and capitalize on. So let me know what you think about that. You can ping us on any of the platforms that consume, or go to the Mr. Beacon website or go to the Wiliot website. But it's a thought, and I think we're going to try it out, see how that goes. If it's useful, we'll continue doing it. So that's enough inside baseball. Let's get on to my interview with Mitch Klein. The Mr. Beacon Ambient IoT podcast is sponsored by Wiliot, bringing intelligence to every single thing. Mitch, welcome to the Mr. Beacon podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me, Steve. Glad to be here.
Yeah. There's a lot to cover in a fairly short period of time, but you lead the Z-Wave Alliance. So I want to talk to you about what is Z-Wave. I'm really interested in the Alliance because we're working on this ambient IoT Alliance. And so I'm sort of picking the brains of people on best practice with that. And also Silicon Labs. You're more than Z-Wave. You're obviously a lot. So love to cover that as well. And there's a few other things I'd love to get to, but I have a feeling we won't have time. So let's just start with Z-Wave. What is Z-Wave?
That's a great question. Z-Wave is a technology platform. It's a complete technology stack that is essentially focused on providing the technology to enable devices to communicate to each other for the smart home. That's the simple answer. It was developed by a company in Copenhagen called Zensys in, 2003. The credo has been for complete interoperability to guarantee that devices with Z-Wave in it would work with other devices with Z-Wave as a platform. So it's totally focused on smart home. And as I say, it's a complete stack, sub gigahertz and great great product.
So it's using this ISM band that is unlicensed, sub-gigahertz. So that's kind of good propagation, I guess.
Yeah, and actually the sub-gigahertz is designed to run pretty well between in and around and through building materials. So you can think in terms of like the old nanny cams, if you will, that or way back cordless phones, you know, how they would work anywhere within the house. It's because all of those devices have been sub-gigahertz, as opposed to like Wi-Fi, where if you have experience with Wi-Fi, like in your home, you always find there are dead spots. Wi-Fi, there's certain areas in the home where it works very well, certain areas where it doesn't work very well. That's just laws of physics. The actual frequency itself in sub-gig is longer, therefore it will travel through building materials, whereas, you know, 2.4 gig where Wi-Fi is a lot shorter and literally can get stuck, if you will, you know, in the building materials and not make it through to the other side of the home. So the Z-Wave is really, just say from a technology perspective, better suited for in-home use.
And why just focus on in-home? Why not to go broader to industrial?
Yeah, and that's actually a great question too. And that was a question I asked when I got brought on board to head up the alliance. So what has made Z-Wave successful is its focus, a razor sharp focus. So think that it was owned by a company called Sigma Designs that actually had acquired the technology from Zensys. And Sigma Designs, a relatively small company with a small sales force, and to be able to bring it into success required razor sharp focus. And as you know, with any different products, if you take a shotgun approach to sales, it's not necessarily the best way to build a brand and to build your pipeline. So literally, it was a simple thing saying, you know what, let's stay razor focused. Let's make sure that we can get Z-Wave into the service providers and security. That was the focus. And it was adopted well by the security industry because the Z-Wave technology is well secured. Yes, I'll make the statement. It has never been hacked outside of a lab. Yeah, you can find flaws in it. And every time that, you know, we've had these white hat hackers say, hey, you know, if you get within, you know, 30 feet while a product is being included into the system and you happen to be online at exactly that 10-second moment, you can actually hack, again, in a perfect lab environment. But it's never been hacked before. And this is why the security industry adopted Z-Wave. And it's something like 90 to 95% of the monitored security panels utilize Z-Wave because of that reason. And again, that was also razor sharp focused. This is best use case for Z-Wave, and it's been successful there. That doesn't mean that it's not good for other purposes, but that's really where the focus has been.
And what are the typical devices that are being used in the home with Z-Wave? If I decide, okay, I like the sound of this, what devices am I going to find, types and quantities and so forth?
So another very strong aspect of Z-Wave has been its efficiency with battery power. So because of that, it has been very popular with door lock companies. So where will you find Z-Wave? You'll definitely find it in security panels. Whether it's a Vivint or an ADT, Honeywell's used them. Actually, Resideo is actually the brand. Qualsys, which was purchased by Johnson Controls. So you'll find them in those security panels. Certainly find them in door locks. ASSA ABLOY's brands, you know, like Yale, August, Kwikset, Schlage, all of the door lock companies and a bunch that are perhaps more niche-oriented like Alfred and Katus. Every one of them have Z-Wave. Sensors, again, because of the battery efficiency, the power efficiency, no one wants to go and replace your occupancy sensors or, you know, things that you've placed up in a wall or hard to reach areas. So the battery life on a Z-Wave device is pretty darn good. And thermostats, so essentially all of the devices that would really encompass what we now would call a smart home are, you know, including Z-Wave in them.
And how big is the alliance?
So Alliance is right around 250 member companies. I mean, obviously, it fluctuates a bit. About 250 companies that have a little over 4,100 certified devices in the marketplace. That's also, by the way, another strong aspect of Z-Wave is that to utilize use the IP license, if you will, requires the products to be certified for interoperability.
And how is that done? How do you, there are labs presumably, or
yes,
that you go to?
So what happens is a company wants to develop with Z-Wave, they will join the alliance. As a member of the alliance, you have access to the intellectual property. That's your license. You don't have to actually pay a per use license. You don't pay a per device license. It's just simply by being a member, you have access to the intellectual property. You buy the chip and you develop a product. Once you're ready to put the product into the marketplace, you then would submit it to one of the test houses for certification. You cannot commercialize a product with Z-Wave unless it is certified. You can utilize the Z-Wave IP as a member and commercialize it without certification, but you cannot refer or utilize the branding for Z-Wave. So in other words, there are some companies that want to do what I guess we'd call walled garden implementations, where they don't want any other products in their system, can still use the Z-Wave technology. They just cannot refer to it as Z-Wave. They can't call it Z-Wave. So no one would know.
So I could set up Steve-Wave if I wanted to. I would join. I would use the IP. No issues with patent infringement. I just that would be an option.
Yes.
How much does it cost to join if I decide to get into the IoT business in the home and I want to start using your technology?
So there are obviously different membership levels depending on how you're going to utilize the IP. If you're going to utilize the IP and certify your product, the manufacturer level is $10,000. Per year. Mm-hmm. If you want to come in as a principal member and get on the board and help to drive, some of the technologies, and it's $65,000 a year. Mm-hmm. You can come in as an affiliate member. So let's say that you're having another company OEM the product for you and you just want to brand it. So you come in as a brander. I want to say it's about $1,500 per year. You could come in at that level, at $1,500, do your Steve Wave, and have access to the IP and just not certify the product and just call it Steve Wave. Mm-hmm. But bear in mind that your license is your membership, so you just maintain your membership and you're free to continue to utilize and sell the product into the marketplace.
And my obligations there are just once the products are in the field, that's done. It's just I need to be a member whilst I'm correct. Manufacturing and selling the product.
That's how you maintain your license, correct?
Very good. So where do I get the chips from? Who makes Z-Wave ICs?
So at this time, Silicon Labs is the chip supplier. There are different versions of the chip, but right now you're buying them strictly from Silicon Labs. And this is actually one of the reasons that Silicon Labs, who was up until 2020, was the sole owner of the Z-Wave technology and the Z-Wave Alliance, spun it off into an independent alliance. So as of 2020, I want to say it was August of 2020, the Z-Wave Alliance is completely independent. And as of, I want to say, mid-November. I'm sorry, getting my dates wrong. As of mid-November, the actual source code is now available to members to be able to contribute, help to develop the source code, help to develop the software. And we also have proof of concept where the whole Z-Wave stack has been ported to an independent third-party silicon. So we're in the process of securing additional chip companies to provide chips. As of today, at Silicon Labs, we certainly have expectations that in 2024, there'll be additional silicon companies providing chips.
Oh, that's super interesting. How does this stack up versus all of the other standards that we hear about? And, you know, so you work for Silicon Labs, but you're also leading the alliance. Are there other permanent employees that, or is it, how do you staff the alliance? Okay.
So I am a volunteer executive director of the Z-Wave Alliance. Z-Wave does not pay my salary. Silicon Labs does. So my role at Silicon Labs, I am the director of Alliance's strategy. So I have built a team under me at Silicon Labs, and we represent Silicon Labs in all of the alliances. So that would include CSA, which is Zigbee and Matter, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, Thread, and a whole bunch of others that you may or may not have heard of, like Myote, Wise, and anyway. So there's quite a few technologies. And the way we like to phrase it is the technology that's best fit for purpose is the best technology. And you indicated very early on, you say, well, why is Z-Wave not going into industrial? Well, it may not be the right technology. It may not be fit for purpose for that. For that, we may want to use, we may want to use the Wise technology for that. We may find that Bluetooth is the best technology for something. So, you know, on Silicon Labs, we focus 100% of our energies on IoT. That's what we do. And we have pretty much all the technologies under our belt.
And so that gives you a great perspective to comment on the relative position of Z-Wave versus Zigbee and Thread. So can you, maybe for people that, we focus a lot on Bluetooth, but Matter is in the headlines a lot. So can you explain, can you compare and contrast, please?
Yeah.
With Matter, Z-Wave, and Zigbee, and help us apart from those things.
I could spend hours on all of all of that. First of all, just to recall that Z-Wave is all about interoperability, security, certification. There's only one version of Z-Wave, and it's fully backwards compatible. So if you develop a product with the latest 800 series chip, and you put it onto the marketplace, someone installed a Z-Wave dimmer or switch 20 years ago, that they will still interoperate. They will continue to work together. Okay, and that's a very important piece to understand. Zigbee has had many different profiles. There's Zigbee Smart Energy, there's Zigbee Green. There's a lot of really good applications for different versions of Zigbee. But because of that, Zigbee isn't necessarily interoperable with Zigbee. You have to be careful and make sure that you've got the appropriate version, if you will, or profile of Zigbee. Now, the Zigbee standard has moved towards this more standardized or interoperable, but there's no mandate for all the devices to be interoperable. Also, that said, Zigbee operates at the 2.4 gigahertz range. Z-Wave operates at the sub-gig. Sub-gig is becoming more and more interesting to service providers and others because of, again, as we said earlier on, its ability to operate within a home or within a building. 2.4 is getting more and more crowded because you got Wi-Fi and more Wi-Fi devices, more and more Bluetooth devices, more and more Zigbee devices, if you will.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So that's okay. One area. Zigbee has other benefits. Zigbee is a really great use case for Zigbee has been in the smart bulbs, light bulbs, because it can handle the higher temperatures. And again, it's another very good reason for why Zigbee's been used in like the Philips Hue bulbs, things like that.
So why can Zigbee operate at higher temperatures that maybe Z-Wave is less suited to?
It just happens to be that the way the technology has been designed, the way the chips have been designed. And that gets out of my technical capabilities to explain, right?
Okay, but very useful to know.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
So we're kind of getting, there's different profiles with Zigbee. So you need to basically be more cognizant about kind of your hub and spoke and of what's talking to what. What's the relationship with Matter then?
Okay, so a couple of years ago, the Zigbee Alliance rebranded themselves as the Connectivity Standards Alliance. We're obviously members. We're on the board. We're very much supportive of that initiative. And they got together with companies like Amazon, Apple, Google, SmartThings, which is Samsung, and about 200, maybe 250 other companies that all said, you know what, why don't we all put our heads together and let's really get together with a standard that everything will interoperate with each other. Because you know what, this smart home is fragmented. It's a huge barrier to adoption. The consumers are frustrated. Service providers are frustrated. Everyone's frustrated. It was formed a group which they called Project CHIP, which was called Connected Home over IP. And the idea was we're going to use the IP protocols to enable devices to communicate with each other. And we're going to come out with an application layer where all devices will interoperate. From a Z-Wave perspective, we went, yay, this is great news, because now we're not the only ones saying interoperability is important. Once the standard became very close to being released, they rebranded from Project CHIP to Matter. So this is where that is. Version 1.0 was released in November, and products are rolling out now as we speak. This is still based on the 2.4 gig. It's now Matter is strictly an application layer, which is designed to run on top of Thread or Wi-Fi. It can run on top of either one of them. It is an IP-based protocol, which is one of the strengths of Thread and Wi-Fi. And the products are all designed to be interoperable, which, again, we're really happy about that. As a manufacturer, you're happy because you no longer have to worry about, you know, do I have to build a Zigbee version, a Z-Wave version, a Bluetooth version, a Wi-Fi version, you know, of the same lock. I can now build one version of my lock and have my R&D team be more innovative instead of building five versions of the same lock, right? So this becomes a huge benefit.
But how do you deal with the propagation challenge that Z-Wave solves?
Well, this is not what Matter solved. This is one of the areas that Thread addresses and that Wi-Fi is addressing, which is, I guess, a technology or a term that's being used called mesh, meaning that devices now can think of like cells, the way a cellular system operates, where you can literally hand off, you know, the data moves from one device to another device to pass through to get to the end device.
Mm-hmm.
So Thread is a mesh network. Wi-Fi has mesh capabilities. And that's how that's addressed. And it is certainly effective.
Okay, so you go around the wall because everything's talking Correct. To everything, and it's a multi-hop thing, and you're not just requiring line of sight.
Right, and the theory behind the mesh is the more devices you put in the system, the stronger the mesh becomes. Z-Wave is a mesh system, Zigbee is a mesh system, Thread is a mesh system. It's all about how it's implemented in terms of how well it will actually propagate within the home.
Okay, so they all have a mesh component. Right. Even Bluetooth has a mesh
correct.
Component.
Well, they're working on it. Yes, correct.
Okay, well, I refer people to the Mr. Beacon interview with the Bluetooth mesh people if they want to get into that. But isn't there a connection between matter and Bluetooth?
So, yes, there is. Bluetooth is being utilized essentially just for, what's the term? What is the term they use? Basically the Z-Wave term is including. Just to add a device to the system, Bluetooth is being used because you got that on your phone. You wouldn't have Thread on your phone, but you'd be able to include a device utilizing Bluetooth. So yes, Bluetooth plays an important role at that point within the Matter ecosystem, correct.
And so Thread existed before Matter. Can you just kind of package that up a little bit more? What was the history of Thread? And because you support Thread to Silicon Labs, right? Yeah.
We do. So Thread was developed to be a network layer and a physical layer to be able for devices to send and receive and to connect over IP. And it was open in terms of you could put whatever application layer you want on top of it. Because it wasn't a full stack like Z-Wave is, like Zigbee is, you know, which essentially runs everywhere from the PHY to the network all the way up to the application layer. Because it was only just the network layer, let's just say the adoption for Thread was not as widespread as was expected.
Okay, and that's 2.4 gigs technology, right?
Right, that's right.
Okay,
so. When Matter came along, the whole point for Matter is to be over IP. Thread became an ideal network layer. So that's essentially has kind of breathed a bit of new life into Thread and made it even that much more relevant. So Thread's become a very important technology for smart home.
And of the name brand smart home appliances, the Google devices, thermostats, and so forth. Which ones are using which technology? Just so we can, if we're trying to make sense of this landscape, we've covered a lot of protocols. Heads are probably spinning. So who's using what at the moment, and where do you think it's going to go?
You know, the whole idea was to make things simple, and I will have to acknowledge it hasn't done that. Thread is really ideal for battery devices. Sensors, door locks, whatever. I mean, anything that's going to be a wireless device. Thread is really perfect for that. You don't have Thread on your phone. Matter is perfect for interoperability. Wi-Fi is perfect for high bandwidth, you know, for streaming. If you're going to power up a device, you know, you have Wi-Fi on your phone, you can have native applications that will run right off your phone. There's a lot of great use cases for Wi-Fi as well. So if you go out and you buy a Thread thingy and a Wi-Fi thingy and they're both Matter, guess what? Matter doesn't talk to Wi-Fi. Oh, so what does that mean? Well, it means you're going to need to have a Thread border router. Well, what's a border router? Border router is a thingy that lets a Thread device talk to a Wi-Fi device. Okay, so what do you need to know in order to bring that in? Not much. You just need to know you need one. Well, what is a border router? Well, hopefully it's just your Google smart speaker, your Amazon smart speaker. Has it built in? As a consumer, you don't even know you needed one because you already have one automatically. At least that's the goal. So you don't have to know you need one. It just exists. That at least that's the plan. Let's get there. Right. But you need to know you need one.
And I need for Z-Wave. So I have a Yale smart locks. I love them. I can use my watch to get in and out of my workshop that has that and in through the back door. So, but I had to have a little extra block gizmo. And presumably that's the Z-Wave equivalent of that thing that you just described.
So, for Matter to be successful, you can't assume hundreds of millions of devices in the field will be replaced. And you can't assume that they're just going to go dark either. So you've got hundreds of millions of Z-Wave devices and Zigbee devices already out in the field. What are you going to do about those? Well, in developing Matter, that was obviously a very serious consideration, that for Matter to be successful, it would have to be interoperable with the existing technologies as well. So hooks have been built into the Matter specification, and that enables bridges. So, again, does it get a little confusing? Yes, it does. But once things get all wrapped up, and I'll say it's probably another year, maybe 2 years, but you'll see bridges built into things just like you have with Thread Border Routers. So you'll have a Z-Wave bridge. And essentially, what is a Z-Wave bridge? Essentially enables a Z-Wave device to look like a Matter device. So your normal Matter controller will control your Z-Wave device. Silicon Labs has what we're calling a Unify SDK, which is designed to be a piece of software designed to go into any hub, any router. And that will enable Z-Wave initially, and it's already ready in alpha version now, it enables Z-Wave and Zigbee devices to interoperate with Matter. So that solution, it was acknowledged from day one that it was necessary in order to really drive adoption of the smart home.
Excellent. Well, I think you've got us to a point where we can sound like we know what we're talking about. We can at least go through some of the key strengths of those protocols. I want to just take a few minutes, 5 minutes, and just talk a bit about Silicon Labs as we're in the industry, and we're trying to figure out these different players and where they sit. What's the history of Silicon Labs, and where is the focus? You make chips in a lot of IoT devices. What's the story there?
Yeah, I won't bore you with all the long history. Company was formed, and headquarters are in Austin, Texas. Silicon Labs, I want to say in July of 2021, I believe, spun off roughly almost half the company. So we sold off our automotive and industrial businesses and only kept IoT. That's it. We are 100% IoT. So we are the only IoT-focused company. We build wireless and some, you know, obviously MCU-based chips that are for the industrial, smart city, commercial, smart home, portable. You know, we'll make devices for things like continuous glucose monitors, smart watches, as well as, of course, all the smart home devices. That's who Silicon Labs is, 100% focused on IoT. And we've got offices all around the world. And in 2022, we essentially have exceeded the revenue that we had pre-divestiture. So doing pretty well.
Focus certainly helps. That's great.
It does. And again, it's a public company, so I haven't released any info that you couldn't find yourself. SLAB, I believe, is the NASDAQ.
Well, Mitch, thanks for guiding us through all of this. Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed that. And you've got some very interesting musical instruments behind you.
Yes.
We have a traditional warm-up question, which is three favorite songs. I imagine you've got some songs in your head, but maybe too many. I don't know.
Yeah, the songs are constantly changing. It's like, oh, what's your favorite song? It's like, well, you mean today, right?
Yes.
I think to say what my favorite songs of all time are, that I could not answer that question. I really couldn't.
And I think the question's really designed as a way of getting to know the person. So it's actually less about what the best song in the world is, but three songs that means something to you based on parts of your life.
Right.
Maybe that's a better way of framing it.
Yeah, and I think I can probably go with that. But what's very interesting is I think of myself as a musician. I'm not a professional, but even way back in high school, I would write arrangements. So to me, it was always about the music, and the lyrics was just another instrument. So to me, I was not really tied in to the poetic aspects of the lyrics, and I was always driven by the arrangements and the music. And so some songs that many people would love would have no interest to me because the music was boring. And so to me, someone like a Randy Newman is just amazing because his arrangements are just so creative. Anything by Steely Dan is just a miracle because the music is incredible. The lyrics are mysterious, of course. So with that in mind, I can tell you that lately the music that has always driven me, Homeward Bound comes to mind as one of my favorites because I travel a lot. And Simon and Garfunkel, I mean, again, you think of them as a folk duo, and they are, but they're really storytellers. And again, so for someone that's not into lyrics, I love their lyrics, right? Because they tell great stories, but the arrangements are wonderful. And Homeward Bound hits a note because as much as I travel, I love coming home. I can't wait to come home. And
I'm with you there. And yeah. I love Paul Simon, saw him live. I don't know, if you're an aficionado then, have you ever seen One Trick Pony, his movie? It's an album and it's also a movie.
Long ago,
I love both of them.
I can even take that up a level. And long ago, he had a musical on Broadway. I think it was called Cape Man or something like that. And my wife and I and my sister and her husband went to that. And it turned out it was actually a New Year's Eve at the Marquee Theater. And of course, when we got out, we didn't realize we were right there in the middle of Times Square. But actually, the musical was terrible. I didn't think it had like a 1 week run. It was done. But anyway, I digress.
That's a bit of history, though. Yeah. I mean, actually, it doesn't make many duds. And
The music is awesome. Another one that... I've been playing in a band now, kind of an industry band, where we basically exchange song sets. We learn our parts. We practice once when we get together, and then we play at an industry event. And one that really has been driving home for me is a song called Let It Roll, which is by Little Feat, another band that I am a big fan of, because Little Feat also does this wonderful work with different instruments and wonderful arrangements. And Let It Roll is really up-tempo, upbeat, a high-energy song, positive, and some great brass in it, and wonderful bass line. And I'm a bass player, so I kind of, like the fact that the bass lines up with the brass and everything. So that's something, too, that takes my mind off of all the stresses from work and just gets me really locked in on the music, which is really kind of fun.
Very cool. Now, what's your third?
And then again, anything by Steely Dan. And, you could pick it at just about anything, and even some of Donald Fagen's solo stuff or Walter Becker's solo stuff. But what's also been hitting a nerve lately, again, with all of this craziness going on with mass shootings and stuff like that, they have this song called With a Gun off of Pretzel Logic album, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. It's called With a Gun, and there's this one line in there that just rings a bell, and if I remember correctly, it's, "With a gun, you will be what you are just the same." And to me, that just really kind of hits a point. It's like, the gun doesn't make you anything, doesn't make you bigger, doesn't make you stronger, doesn't solve your problems. You're still going to be who you are. And there's so much of that going on and in the news, and you can apply that anywhere. And so anyway, right now, I guess those are the three that are top of mind. Ask me again in 6 months, I'll have three more.
Marvelous. Yeah. Great choices. I love Steely Dan. Love that album cover on Pretzel Logic. There's something about it. It's just so atmospheric. It captures New York in a certain time.
And, where I grew up. That's right.
Awesome. Well, Mitch, thanks so much for ending this with that personal touch. I really enjoyed listening to your account of those three songs.
Thank you, Steve. It's a really pleasure to be here. And I'm hoping to get a lot smarter about what you guys are working on with Ambient IoT.
Excellent. Really appreciate it.
So that was Mitch, a great guy. Really enjoyed the conversation, on the inside of a lot of the happenings that are driving the standards that make IoT possible. Hope you found it interesting, and thanks for listening to the end. And do help us by giving us feedback, review us, tell your friends, and most important, tune in next time. We appreciate your time with us. All the best.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.